Hey everyone, welcome back to the Commercial Real Estate Library Podcast. I'm Damon Tamanawala, a senior advisor on the National Apartment Team for Colliers International. As always, I'm joined by my co-host and senior originator at Trez Capital, Garrett McGilvery. Together, our goal is to connect you with the brightest minds in the commercial real estate industry. Today, we're sitting down with Ritu Gupta to discuss hotels. She's the CEO and president of the Eastons Group of Hotels and the Gupta Group. The Eastons Group of Hotels is most widely recognized as Canada's largest private hotel developer. They have a portfolio of more than 19 hotels across the country, as well as numerous condo projects on the go, especially in the Greater Toronto area. Ritu is one of the smartest and most genuine guests that we've had on the podcast. I'm super excited for you guys to hear this. She was named Top 40 Under 40, and we're going to dive into what it's like growing up in the family business, how the hotels industry is doing, and where it's going. But before we do that, I want to say a quick thank you to our sponsor, KMB Law. KMB Law are corporate real estate lawyers specializing in the acquisition, disposition, and financing of commercial real estate projects. For the same reason you use a real estate broker, a commercial real estate broker, you're going to want to have a commercial real estate lawyer, a specialist. Check them out at kmblaw.com, kmblaw.com. This podcast is also supported by Mizrahi Developments. Mizrahi Developments was founded on the principles of changing expectations in the development industry. They're constantly doing that, and really, you can check them out at any of their projects which speak to that. For instance, the one which is located at the southwest corner of Yonge and Bloor. It is currently the tallest planned condominium development currently under construction, second only to the CN Tower right now. So check that out. Please support us by supporting them. And without further ado, enjoy the podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Commercial Real Estate Library. I'm Dama Tamanawala. You know Garrett McGilvery, my co-host. And today we're joined by Ritu Gupta, the CEO of the Gupta Group. Yes. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So we'll dive right into it. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Do I leave out the Scarborough part? So I was born in Scarborough. I think that's very important for everyone to know.
Yeah.
Scarborough is the best place to live or to grow up, I should say. So I started working really, really young. Every time we had a summer off, it was never a summer off for my dad. My dad would, literally the day school ended, my dad would come into the room and tell my sister and I that you have to come to the office. I'm not going to lie, hated it. And every summer from June till the first day of school in September, I started working in reception at the head office. We moved over into accounting. We were in apartment buildings at that time, so we were doing a lot of rent rolls, that type of thing. So after I graduated high school, I was then working full-time at one of our hotels. I did housekeeping, operations.
Wait, so hold on. Yes. So when back in the day you were in apartments?
Yes.
Or the family was in apartments. So yes. where were some of the first apartments located?
They
in Scarborough.
They were not in Scarborough. We were in Scarborough, but the apartments were not. It was at Bathurst and Steeles.
Okay.
And also the Tyndale buildings, which are near to the CNE. So we had a whole bunch of groups of buildings.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
And then the progression into hotels.
Yes. So then we opened our first hotel actually in Port Hope. I don't know if you're familiar with Port Hope, which is east of here. Okay. Mm. So we had our first hotel there, and then our first hotel in Toronto was at Jarvis and Dundas, and it was a Comfort Suites. It's now Dundas Square Gardens, which is a condo building that's going up. Yes.
Gotcha.
So that's how we started. I went into operations when I was in high school, working with our general manager, working in housekeeping, and sort of learning all of the different parts of the hotels. I went to U of T Scarborough, did my BBA, specialized in marketing, and then came back to the business full time, worked as director of sales and marketing, did my MBA, came back again, and basically after many, many years, we came here to where I am, president and CEO.
Right. Wow. Yeah. It's so, you weren't kidding about it. You do talk fast.
There's sorry, Michael, I told you that I do. Oh,
no. No. It's good. It's a lot of information. Yeah. Okay. So go ahead, Garrett.
I was going to say that's interesting because you did start at sort of the ground floor of an organization, which a lot of people don't do that effectively. Like from housekeeping, you must know hotels from inside and out because obviously you progressed from housekeeping to the private reception, all those other things that you did
For sure. And honestly, that's all credit to my parents. Yeah. They made sure that we started ground up. And when we could, basically, as soon as I could talk, I learned how to make tea because brown people love tea. Sorry, it's called chai in Hindi.
Yeah.
So we learned how to make tea. And then they literally sent us to the office to pick up phones and do that type of thing. So my parents were very, very observant. And they made sure that all of us were working exactly where we should be. And they never let us skip a step. So they made sure that we learned from the ground up.
Okay. And how does that help you now, being like the CEO in control of basically everything? You're at the top of the pyramid.
You know what? If I didn't work from the ground up, I don't think I would understand how the business works. Mm. So as much as I honestly, we both hated it. My older sister and I, we did not like working in the summers because everyone else is outside and they're playing and they're doing all these fun things and we're stuck at the office.
Yeah.
But now I look back and I'm thinking, thank God I did that, because I learned at a very young age. I kind of sort of expedited my career. So I was able to do all the reception administrative things at a really young age, whereas usually people start that, I would say, after university, right? Mm-hmm. That's when you would get sort of the proper office jobs. But I kind of already had that experience going into university, which was fantastic.
Yeah, you're doing rent rolls at a grade school.
Yeah. Basically, yes.
Yeah,
evicting tenants in the apartments and
evicting tenants.
The notices only.
Okay. Yeah. You weren't the strong arm. That was your older sister.
Knock your shit.
You would make that call to the strong arm and say, okay, Sarah, you got to do this.
Gotcha.
This.
Yeah, good.
So you had, at 10 years old, you had muscle.
Yes,
we technically, yes, the property manager.
Right.
We had our property managers to call.
Oh my gosh.
Can you describe, so there's the Group to Group, there's Easton's group of companies, there's several different
organizations.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you describe how they are all different and how they work together? Like,
sure.
How does the whole company
work? Sure, sure. So Easton started, I would say, almost about 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it's called Easton's was my dad purchased... Am I talking too fast again?
No. All good. I was just giving you a hard time before.
No, but actually tell me, because I know some people will just stare at me with that look and I know they have no idea what I'm saying.
Okay.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So in Port Hope, we had a truck stop, which my dad purchased.
Yeah.
He purchased it from Bill Easton. And the truck stop was already called Easton's. Now, this was in the 70s-ish. Obviously, being Indian, my dad thought it might be better to keep the Easton's name as opposed to the Gupta name.
Right.
So it was called Easton's Group.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2012, we went into condos. And at that point, I thought it was important for our name to be out there. So that's when I launched the Gupta Group, and that is the residential arm of the company. And the third company I think you're referring to is Rogue Inside Capital.
Right.
So this is an interesting story. My younger brother...
That's the VC firm,
right?
That's
the VC firm,
right?
Exactly. Okay. So my younger brother, Suraj, he's amazing. He's going to rule the world one day. He's literally the most intelligent person in our family. He's awesome. He did his MBA from Columbia in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came back, we were talking about what he wants to do, and he really wants to launch this firm. So we decided to do it together. He's the president of the company, and we launch, we help with startups in Canada. We like to focus on minority groups and women, obviously, because they don't get enough funding. And we've been doing that for about 2 years now, which has been really, really, really fun. And just another way to diversify our holdings.
Are you able to share like anything about the companies or some of the successes that you've seen in the early days of operating?
Sure. In terms of Rogue.
Yeah.
In terms of the VC.
Yeah. And then we'll double back.
Yes, absolutely. So what we do is we look at companies, we get a lot of companies that come to us. A lot of the really interesting things we found, there's obviously autonomous robots. We're invest in prop tech, fintech. I don't think I can give you the actual company names.
Okay.
But we are, I think we're in about 3 different continents right now, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you should get my brother in here to talk to him about that, because
okay.
It's really interesting. Shameless plug.
We will. He's the smartest.
Yeah, he's definitely the smartest one. Trust me. You'll be blown away.
Yeah, why not? So then the Easton's Group is the hotel arm.
Yes.
And then Gupta Group is the condo development arm.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt. Can we talk a little bit about operating a hotel? Because that's one of these things. We've done a little bit of development, and I do want to get into that, because you guys have some really exciting projects. But can we talk about, you know, what makes operating a hotel so different? Why can't everybody just do it?
That is a really good question. And it's funny because we see a lot of people that think that anybody can operate a hotel, but it is really difficult. And I would say the reason why it's difficult is because within that one business, A, you'll have multiple revenue streams. B, there's also multiple departments that have to be working together. So it's a lot to manage, and it's not easy. Managing one in itself is difficult. And I think we have 17, and we have 5 more that are under development coming into the market this year.
Right.
I personally love the business.
Private hotel operator,
yes,
right?
So far, yes. I love what I do, and I really love the management side of the hotels, but it is difficult.
Right. And how is the hotel market doing in Canada, or I guess globally too.
Absolutely. In Toronto, it's doing really, really well. And in Canada, it's actually been a really great year for us. And I believe 2020 is projecting to also be another great year.
Okay.
And where are your hotels located?
Mostly in Ontario, and we have two in Quebec.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And throughout Ontario, or is it clustered around GTA?
It's mainly around GTA.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we have one out in Kingston.
Okay.
Can you walk us through how that works from, you know, getting a building to actually getting people in there? Like, what's the process of getting a brand name on the hotel? How important is that, rather than just being like a private hotel, like, I don't know, not
like
no
a boutique
name.
Brand.
Yeah, boutique.
Yes, of course. So we actually almost every year talk about launching our own boutique brand, but we have great relationships with Marriott and with Hilton.
Right.
They're fantastic brands. So with them, they literally start you from beginning to end. They will pre-open you. They will go through everything with you. In addition, I think the most important benefit, which is why we've never opened our own brands, is they have their own reservation system and they have their own client database, which is international. So if we were to open, you know, a Gupta Group brand, we can, but we don't have all of the benefits that Marriott and Hilton offer.
Right.
Which
and
is
they
like,
also have the rewards programs as well, which are amazing.
People really like those.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. For
and
sure.
Just the brand name recognition of going on to Hilton.ca and doing
Absolutely.
Your reso type of thing.
Right.
And each of these brands are also coming up with their own sort of boutique lifestyle brands, which again sort of satisfies what we wanted to do in terms of a boutique style. So we have the Canopy by Hilton. I'm not sure if you're both familiar with this brand. We're opening it at the Rosedale on Bloor condo. So it's Bloor and Sherbourne. So it's sort of geared towards, I don't like the term millennial because I feel like people talk about millennials like we're zombies and, you know, we're going to take over the world. But it's geared towards, we're going to take over the world. But there's always so much negative connotation with millennials. Like, how do you talk to them and how do you sell to them? And so I think it's a little bit absurd. So the Canopy by Hilton is focused on, I would say, a younger demographic, a healthier demographic. And it is one of Hilton's boutique brands. So we're opening that at Rosedale on
Bloor. So what's different about it? Like, how does it target the younger demographic and the, like, what's different?
Design.
Okay.
So the design is very open concept, a lot of communal tables as opposed to private booths, that type of thing.
Gotcha.
The one thing that I love about this brand is that they allow you a lot of flexibility. So we're able to use F&B from Toronto, whereas most brands will say you have to use X, Y, and Z. But here they want you to use your city. So it'll be really great to promote the city as well.
Cool.
And maybe the Raptors too.
The Raptors too.
Huge Raps fan.
Yeah.
Had to throw that in there.
Are you a super fan?
NBA champs, yeah.
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 Courtside tickets?
I wish. That is the goal, actually.
Were you? Well, actually, no. That was in a different city.
It was in a different city. Yeah.
Did you get to attend some of the finals?
We did. So my brother and I actually went out and watched them against GS. I think it was game 4. Yeah.
Mm.
We kicked their ass, which was awesome. And I think it was the last game in that stadium, which was so funny. But yeah, it was really good.
That's awesome.
Anyways, if we start going down the Raps road, we will never come back to what you want to talk about.
Right. And just real quick, like, I'm just trying to have the listeners get an idea of what's going on in a hotel. Can you talk about the difference between a boutique and a traditional hotel? Like, when people talk about boutique in a full service hotel.
Okay. So there's a lot of boutique hotels that are full service.
Okay.
So the Thompson Hotel downtown,
yeah.
I think that was one of Toronto's first sort of legitimate boutique hotels.
Gotcha.
But now a lot of these brands, so the W is also considered a boutique hotel, but it's still full service. So I think that line is sort of blurred now because all of the brands, they're coming to the market with these amazing brands that are considered boutique in terms of style and their offering. So for example, the Lobby Bar is something that's really popular in a boutique hotel. So Marriott's and Hilton's, they're now launching brands that have that type of concept.
Right. But the full service is then also you can still get all the things you would expect in like a Hilton, like room service and
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Okay.
Right. I would say the boutiques are a little more modern, a little more contemporary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is your portfolio a mix or are you more on the limited service side?
We're more on the limited service side, but we are trying to get more into that mix and I would like us to expand internationally as well.
Okay. And full service predominantly would do better towards like the core of downtown Toronto versus maybe on the fringe, like, you know, airport hotels type of thing.
So we do have full service by the airport.
Okay.
And it is doing really well. I think that we're starting to see a demand for full service in the outskirts of the city. So in Vaughan as well, there's huge demand for a full service hotel. And I'm sure you both know Vaughan is blowing up and residential wise, commercial wise, it's doing really well. So I think Vaughan is also going to be getting a full service hotel soon. Yeah.
And do you ever play with the concept? Because I think Soho has a few brands where they have condo buildings that also have, say, 5 floors of hotel, 6 floors of hotel, like One King West mm-hmm. also has yep. that mm-hmm. concept. Is that something that you guys are potentially going to move into or have already done? One Bluer West have?
I don't think One Bluer West.
Mizrahi's building. The one. That's.
Does that have a hotel in it?
It will, yeah. It'll have a few floors of hotel.
I didn't think it'd have a hotel.
Because I think their condo's already being built, though, so it's going to be a hotel condo as well?
Yeah, the middle portion is going to be a hotel.
Okay, yeah. So we did think about this with our first site, which is at King and Blue Jays Way. Yep. We were looking at doing that hotel condo mix. Mm. But at that time, when the St. Regis was the Trump Hotel, obviously that just kind of created huge ruckus in the market. So
right.
I don't know if we would go down that route. Honestly, mm. it would have to make financial sense.
Yeah.
Have you guys considered opening a Trump Hotel?
No. Not even yeah. close. Definitely not.
What a question.
Right.
We considered buying the Trump Hotel. It just didn't make financial sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Gupta Group's been around for 40 years. You've been in the business for a lot and part mm-hmm. of that.
Yeah.
You've obviously gone through the 90s, which was an economic unstable time, as well as 2012. What were the, sort of the were there any precursors or was there anything that sort of hit that hotel market that could be potential indicators for recession-based incidences?
For sure. You know what? I think it's not necessarily just in the hotel industry, but you'll see it sort of across the board.
Yeah.
The one thing everyone will look at is the housing economy, and they'll try to look at pricing and how that's looking. I know last year there was a lot of talk in the news that 2020 might be a year of recession. Mm. But if you're looking at the housing economy now, which it's actually doing really well, and if you look at the supply versus the demand, I know everyone gets worried. They see all the cranes in the city, but I think one thing people don't realize is that you can only get that crane up when you're over 70% sold. Mm-hmm. So the demand is there, which is really great. Interest rates as well so far have been flat to last year, which is another indicator. If that starts going high up, then it looks like we could be heading that way. Mm-hmm. And unemployment rates as well. I think last year we started at 5.7. We ended off at 5.5 unemployment. So it looks like we're trending in the right direction. So I don't see a recession coming anytime soon.
Okay. Mm. And nothing's hit the hotel. Like I assume probably occupancy would probably be a main thing for you guys.
Yes, you would start. If the economy was going in that direction, then we would stop. You would start to see less travel into the country as well as locally.
Yeah.
Right. Which we definitely started to see in about 2008. We definitely took a little bit of a hit there, but we're not seeing that right now.
Okay. Yeah. Because discretionary spending would go down and then less travel, less business travel, less stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah.
And on a similar
what? Good. No recession.
Yeah.
My Windsor house is gonna be fine.
Right. Yeah.
All my money's in that baby.
Let's hope. You also always have a Trump effect though, right? So depending on what he does and what he decides in politics, that's also going to make a major impact.
Yeah.
So right now we're okay.
Almost had a war. We avoided that, so that was good.
So scary.
Yeah.
So the hotel industry is doing really well. One thing I think you've probably been asked this a number of times, but when Airbnb came out, you know, I don't even know when they came out now, like 10 years ago.
Airbnb.
Right.
It just gives me a tick. Someone says Airbnb.
Right.
why does it give you a tick?
Hate Airbnb. It's fine. Go on.
Did you see any change in the business at that time? And also now recently they've enacted this, you know, anti short-term rental regulation, which for those who don't know is you can only Airbnb your principal residence, and there are limitations on how long you can have somebody stay there. So that was put into place only about a month or 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen any change in hotel occupancy or how people are looking at your services now?
So, you know, it's interesting because I think that a lot of the hotels banded together to try and put this policy in place because it was so ridiculous. Thankfully, in Toronto, we didn't see that much of a hit. We did see it in terms of the long-term stays. So if people were staying at our hotels for over a month, they would come back and say, oh, we got a better price at the Airbnb. I think in markets in the US and Europe, Airbnb was a lot more popular. In Toronto at that time, it wasn't. Now, thankfully, this policy has come to effect. So hopefully we won't see that much of an impact. But it was about goddamn time for this to happen.
Do you guys as hotel operators have like additional fees that are kind of like make it unfair to, like, I'm thinking of like Uber, for instance,
right.
Taxi drivers, have to get their medallion and they have to have all these regulations. And then Uber came and they're like, well, right. who cares?
Screw the right. regulations. Right. Yeah.
yeah.
Is there something similar like that for the hotel industry?
You're absolutely right. And I think that's why, for me, hotels are just much more safer to stay. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of security, insurance, you don't have that with Airbnb.
Right.
So definitely there's a lot of regulations that you have to have as a hotel, mm-hmm. which, I mean, I don't look at it as it's unfair. I look at it as I feel sorry for the guests that choose to stay in Airbnb because you're not protected at all.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you've never stayed in an Airbnb?
I have not.
Hey guys, I want to say a quick thank you to our sponsor, Green Fox Capital. Green Fox Capital specializes in structured debt and equity placements for commercial real estate. They provide strategic financing for the largest names in commercial real estate when it comes to commercial property and land acquisitions. Over the last few years, the team at Green Fox has completed over $2 billion worth of placements and built a reputation around strategic guidance of their clients. If you're looking for sharper interest rates, a higher loan to value, or better terms, go to greenfoxcapital.com and hit the request to call back button, and a member of their team will reach out to you right away. Again, that's Green Fox Capital. Green like the color, fox like the animal, capital like Ottawa. .com, greenfoxcapital.com. Check them out. Also, if you happen to be a real estate broker and you refer one of your deals, these guys take excellent care of your clients and deliver quite large referral fees. So check them out. Ask them about that. We certainly love these guys. greenfoxcapital.com. Thanks. Back to the podcast.
I refuse, actually, but...
You'd be on TMZ, Ritu's...
Yeah, I know, right? It'll be the huge rumor. I think Marriott actually recently acquired an Airbnb business, and they're trying to give it more of a hotel flair. I think this is in Europe. So the industry is changing quite a bit. Really and smart move on their end.
And is that where they just acquire singular units and then just...
I think what they did is they acquired... It seems like it's more of a resort where they have homes in... They have a bunch of homes in one area.
Okay.
But they're offering hotel services with it, which is really interesting.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So it's like a gated community type
yes.
of thing.
Yeah.
Type of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be neat.
So two-part question on that note. What have been the biggest changes that you've seen over the past 5 years? And then what do you see coming in the next 5 years?
In the hotel industry, the biggest, well, I would say, so what year are we in? So if we went back 12 or 15 years, mm-hmm. it was basically all men and you didn't see a lot of women. If you did, they'd always be basically at the front desk, maybe in sales. But right. even sales was much mm-hmm. more male dominated. So that definitely you're seeing more of a change. You're seeing a lot more women GMs finally, and you're seeing a lot more women in leadership, which is great. Also in terms of tech, you're seeing a lot of really different things now in tech. So now you can, you know, get into the hotel room with your phone as opposed to going in and getting a physical key. So you're seeing a lot of different things on the tech side of things as well, which is making the hotels a lot more modern. And again, speaking to that millennial demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Interesting. And then same, we'll just see more of that, more advancement in, you know, women and more races in,
yes,
into
absolutely.
The industry
absolutely.
And then more technology. Do you have any bold predictions for the next few years in hotels?
In terms of tech? So I saw something really cool. I think this was in Hong Kong and I believe it was Marriott. And this girl was able to check. So they kind of walked through her check-in process and she checked in just with face recognition. She checks in with her phone, gets to the hotel. There's like a little screen waiting for her and it checked her in this way and she didn't have to go see anybody. So I think that could be something that's coming down.
I think that was Alibaba's hotel.
Oh, which is also a partner with Marriott. So that would make sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was really anticlimactic because I'm watching this video thinking it's the coolest thing in the world. And at the end, a room key was spit out of this little machine. I thought she went through all of this right. super techie, you know, checking right. in with her face. And then she got a physical room key, which
I know.
I thought
not
was
even
little...
something that's on your phone or
yeah,
anything like
exactly.
that, a signal
but
or
I definitely
something.
Think it's going to be going that way for sure.
Yeah. Very cool. So then that it's like going the way of sort of like how McDonald's got rid of all their cashiers. You might be getting
yes.
rid of like your front door staff
yep,
type of thing.
Exactly.
And just like, you know, put your thumbprint yep. on there type of
you
stuff.
You also, I mean, back in the day, you could rent movies at hotels, right? They had that software, but
yeah.
now it's all about Netflix and that type of thing. So
yeah.
there's a lot of changes that
yeah.
way as well.
Hmm. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we edge over to the...
How do you... there's some new competitors that are sort of coming into the market. I've actually stayed at one of them, like Yotel, stuff like that. They're offering like... It's like the Japanese style of doing it where you have like a pod... basically sleep in. Yeah, you know, right. How do you see like that type of market for hotel?
Layered.
Actually, it was good. I liked it when I stayed in it. I was like,
so are you in a room by yourself, or are you in a room with a bunch of?
No,
pods?
I was just. It sounds just so like, creepy. It's just like mine was slightly bigger. It wasn't a full pod, but I just walk into their room. The room's about like maybe this big. It's just a bed, and that's it. And it's like really condensed. The TV floats over top of the bed type of thing, like on the ceiling maybe or something like that. And it's just super small, maybe like less than 100 square feet, like less than maybe like 50 square feet. It was just basically a single bed.
Right.
That's what it was. That was the room.
Okay.
Basically, it wasn't actually a full pod on the wall, but it was just like that was it. Teeny tiny. Do you see any like anything in that market, any merit in that type of thing
for business Toronto?
Travelers? Yeah.
For business. Honestly, I think anything is possible. And if there is a demand for that, then you'll start to see something like that. I know Marriott has a brand called Moxie.
Yeah.
Not with pods. So it's not that, you know, with pods and, you know, that tiny. But they offer bunk beds and that type of thing. So there's definitely a demand for different types of lodging. I don't know about these pods. I mean, it sounds, I can't envision it. It sounds really strange. But I do think.
Well,
I didn't say he was strange. Right. I said the pod was strange.
Was Kristen with you in this little pod?
No, I was on my own.
I'm pretty sure she would have been pissed if you took her there.
She would have been like, get out of here.
Yeah.
But no, the Japanese have little pods where it's like, they have like three on the wall. Yeah. You have to like climb up and then get into your pod. And it's really just like a hole.
It's almost like summer camp.
Yeah. It's like a...
Sounds like a safety hazard to me. What if they fall out of their pods?
Well, it's like crawling into a coffin from the one end.
Oh, right. That's a great way to market it. Yeah. Great.
I'm not in the hotel business. Okay. I don't have to worry about this. But that's what it feels like.
Interesting.
A luxury coffin.
Yeah, a luxury coffin. Slightly more
spacious. I don't think Easton's will go down that road. Maybe Toronto will start to see that, but I don't think Easton's is going to go down that road. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Always nice to know what's going on in the rest of the world.
Hey, it was neat. It was cheap. It was pretty efficient.
How much was it?
I think you pay for it on the hour. So I paid.
Of course. Hopefully.
So I paid 7 hours because I had like a.
Oh,
I got
in. Literally went there to sleep and then leave.
Yeah, because I flew in. It was in Amsterdam, actually. Okay. Amsterdam Airport had it. I flew in at like 2 a.m. and then I had my flight next day at like 11. I was like, I'll just sleep in the airport, and I was like. After 10 minutes, I was like, no, I'm going to this hotel thing. It was $10 an hour. Or sorry, it was like $30 up front, and then that gets you 3 hours, and then it was $10 for every additional hour or something like that.
Okay, it's not bad.
Yeah. Right. So it was like $70 in total.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it sounds like you could just fit thousands and thousands of bodies in there. Imagine they had a fire.
I'm telling you, they're just safety like wise, it just does not sound.
They just, everybody just keeps coming out.
It sounds really scary.
Well, there wasn't really a fire.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
That's fine. I'm obviously here.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Can we switch gears and talk about some of the active development projects that you have going on?
Sure.
Where are they in the city? Mm-hmm. What exciting things are you guys working on?
Absolutely. So we have Dundas Square Gardens, which is at Jarvis and Dundas. We should be taking occupancy actually at the end of this month, which is really exciting. Then we have Rosedale on Bloor, which is another condo development, and that's at Bloor and Sherbourne. And that's the site of the Canopy by Hilton Hotel, which is great. We also have Residence Inn, which is in Mississauga. Should be opening up within the next 2 months. And The Element, which is opening up by the airport.
Okay.
I feel like I'm missing one, but... 1, 2, 3, 4. No, that's correct.
Do you have any plans to move out of the GTA, or is this like you want to stay there? Like, obviously you have the two in Quebec that I believe you mentioned, but any other markets that you're looking to expand into?
Definitely the US. So we're actively looking at the US right now. Mm-hmm. But right now in GTA, there's so much opportunity. So we actually just acquired a site in the distillery district. Mm-hmm. And we're looking to build a hotel there, which is going to be really, really, really cool and something we can be very creative with.
Okay.
That area needs a hotel for sure.
Oh yeah, distillery for sure.
Especially as it grows.
Yes. Yeah. You know, absolutely. In 5 years, absolutely. And everything east of there is going to get developed. So
yeah, because you have that whole, basically the whole strip by the water, mm-hmm. and then the whole island,
East Harbor, absolutely. The whole Portland, Tridell's building up there, stuff.
Yep.
Those the condos massive development. Are ridiculously expensive.
I know.
By the way,
I know.
Maybe you can make yours cheaper.
Well, it's a hotel in that area, but if we do condos, I'll give you a call for sure. Right. Yeah.
There you go. Where in the U.S. are you looking?
Like, there's a couple of markets that we're looking at. So I wouldn't probably go to the major cities like New York, just because it's really expensive. So I'm looking at the cities that are sort of gateway cities, the ones that are starting to build out. So Atlanta is also a city right now that's really building the revenue. So we're looking at cities like that.
What is a typical hotel yield? If you were to sell a hotel today, what do you see in Toronto?
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's a little bit difficult to answer because you have focus service hotels like ours. Mm. You also have focus service hotels that are much older. We keep our hotels in really great condition.
Right.
And then you also have the hotels on the other side, which are full service. But we're seeing a lot of sales right now with hotels, and the market's doing really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just a range, because I know you can't.
In terms of cap rates?
Yes.
So you would see right now what would be healthy for focus service would be between 6 and 8%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what would be like sort of the general occupancy for a well-managed hotel?
Again, depending on city. So in Toronto, our occupancies are over 70% annually.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
And what about your ADR?
Again, that's sort of all over the map, but I would say downtown.
What does that one mean again?
Average daily rate.
Yeah. So average daily rate. So for downtown, we're upwards of 300, and that's still starting to rise, which is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, we're nowhere near New York. Our prices should be much higher, but we're getting there slowly.
Yeah. What is New York, just out of interest?
So New York, if you were to even look for a room now, which was similar to our hotels, it'd probably be $800-900. And that's cheap, because it'd be maybe $1,100-1,200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know of the cap rates that are in New York?
No,
is it more compressed?
I don't. No? Yeah.
So I wonder if that's a,
another reason why we're not looking, because we did look a few years ago, but it's too expensive.
Yeah.
And the unions there are a lot more ridiculous to deal with.
In terms of like...
In terms of their ask and price and wages and... Yeah.
Okay.
How many people does it take to run a hotel? I mean,
depends on number of rooms.
Yeah.
Let's say like a limited service one too.
So across our company, we have about 2,000 people.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's about 17 hotels.
Okay. How much of that is like administration versus like working in the hotel itself type of thing?
So I would say if we took any focus service hotel, you would maybe have 15% that would be admin. Okay. And then you have operations, housekeeping, sales.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, you need that because you're always in front of the guest, right? So you want to make sure that they're getting the best service. At the end of the day, it's a hotel, but you're also providing a service.
Right.
Yeah. Circling back onto sort of a bit on your brother, are you looking to utilize any of that technology that comes out of the VC? Are you cherry picking companies that you might be able to see that can integrate well into your businesses?
Absolutely. So whenever we find something that we think could work, it's definitely something that we look at. We haven't done anything as of yet, but whenever we find something interesting, it's always top of mind to see if we can incorporate that into Easton's.
Yeah.
Right.
So like artificial intelligence receptionists and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Holograms.
Yeah. Holograms. Imagine.
We're not at the hologram way yet, but you do see that in condos where you'll have a concierge, but there's nobody actually there. So you just go in, you know, you have a touch screen, you pick up your mail, that type of thing.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Not very good for security, but just walk right by the holographic security guard, like, hi.
It's still auto-playing its message.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Right. Well, you could have drones that could come out when needed.
Shoot a trank dart or something.
Right. It's like, oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah, drones would be actually scary.
See, that's what I'm saying. If you just see a drone that's coming towards you, you'd be scared. Scarier than if a person was coming towards you.
Because, obviously, Airbnb hits a market... for more long-term stay type of thing, because they offer kitchens, stuff like that. People can, stay in the unit a little more self-contained. Are you seeing brands move towards, like, there would obviously be a mix. Like, obviously you're looking for short-term, but then for long-term stay people, is there more of a push towards, self-contained units, almost like mini condos type of thing, where people can actually cook in there, stuff like that?
It's a great question. So actually, we're seeing a shift in the other way. Marriott and Hilton both already have long stay properties. So one is called the Residence Inn, which we have one downtown, and the Homewood Suites by Hilton. So they're like little apartments, and they have a kitchenette, dishwasher, that type of thing. But now we're seeing that people don't cook, and they would rather use Uber Eats or whatever it is.
Right.
So now we're seeing a lot of people that are staying for the 30 days plus. They want just that regular hotel room, and they don't necessarily want the kitchenette and the stove and that type of thing, because they're constantly eating out or ordering in.
Yeah, right.
And
it's interesting.
And who is the typical customer? Is it the business person still, or is it somebody coming for a holiday?
Yeah.
Who's the kind of...
So it's interesting. I think that's why all the brands have all of their different brands within the Marriott. So for the Residence Inn, which is a long-term stay, you'll definitely see the business people that are coming into the city that, you know, maybe they're on a long-term contract and they're here for 2 weeks, 30 days plus. Mm. But then also with the Residence Inn downtown, on the weekends, you see tourists. During TIFF, it's all tourists. In the summer, it's always a lot of families that are visiting the city.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, again, because Gupta Group's been around for a really long time, when Airbnb came into play in, like, I think it was probably in the 2000s, stuff like that, how did that affect your business until today type of thing? Like,
this is now we've said Airbnb about
100 times. I know. Every time I said it, I'm trying not to swear out loud.
but like, because, like, all of a sudden a major supply just went onto the market, right?
Right.
And everybody just didn't care because they're just trying to undercut everything. So all of a sudden the whole pricing play goes out the window and you have like 4 times as many units that you can potentially have as like a hotel stay.
So you know what? Luckily enough, we didn't see a lot of that in Toronto. So again, with our long-term stay, we came across Airbnb quite a bit. Mm. And there was a conference called Collision last year where we also definitely saw that impact because all the hotels in the area, in all of GTA, were looking that we were going to have occupancies that were going to be amazing. But we heard back from the conference and they said, no, everyone's coming and staying in Airbnb. So we haven't seen too much of an impact, thankfully, because it was mainly on the long-term stay and not all of our hotels are long-term stay.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see more of that now for instance, with the conference from last year.
Okay. What kind of struggles did you face, like, being, like, you're a very empowered woman in real estate, you're CEO of a major company that does a ton of things, everything. Were there any struggles? How has the workforce transitioned, like,
being a woman in the hotel industry and growing up in the hotel industry, definitely, oh my God, so many struggles. Still not now, but I would say up until 5 years ago, I would have men come into the boardroom and look at me and say, will your daddy be joining us?
Oh my God.
And again, that's when the Scarborough side comes out and I want to do stupid things. But definitely I would see a lot of that and a lot of being treated just like I'm either a secretary that doesn't know much.
Right.
Even on the hotel side, I would find that I would have to work really hard to get my ideas heard.
Mm.
Just because they would look at me. I mean, first of all, I was a woman. I almost said something else. Sorry, I'm a woman. I was young and I was also always the boss's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of always had these three things working against me. Right. And being the boss's daughter, it's interesting because people would almost second guess everything that I would say, or they would just, I would give ideas and they would just kind of give me that look and not really take me seriously. And I know my age and being a woman also had to do with that. But the one thing for me that always kept me going was I never wanted to work to prove myself to other people, but I wanted to work to prove it to myself. So I never kind of let any of that get to me. I just kept saying, I'm here for a reason. This is my business. And if that means that they don't believe me today, eventually everybody will believe. So it was just a matter of believing in myself.
Right. What were some of the Scarborough things that you did?
So I'll tell you what I didn't do, but I was in a meeting once, a gigantic meeting. So there was maybe 25 people there. So we're in this meeting and it was all men. So, and my dad was in the meeting with me, but somehow, as soon as I came in and I went to the center of the table to sit with my dad, the guy stops me and says, no, 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 no. And he puts me literally on the end of the table. There was tumbleweed. Like, I was just in the boonies.
Right.
So I'm watching this meeting go down and I can tell that it's not going the way it should.
Mm.
So I get up and I walk over to my dad and I'm whispering to him, telling him what we should do next. This jackass next to my dad, so I told you, I'm sorry. This person, man, next to my dad, there was no chair for me. So he literally hits his lap as if to say, come and sit on my lap.
Wow.
Yo. I was literally a holy... I told you, I'm sorry. Okay.
What did you do?
I did not do what I wanted to do in my head.
Yeah, I know.
There was a lot of stuff censored that I did not do.
Right.
I just stood up and I just said, no, thank you. And I went back to my seat that way. But it was interesting because I didn't handle it with emotion. Like, you know, I also feel like being a woman, had I done something that would be considered emotional,
right,
I immediately would have been penned as that. As like, oh my God, see,
she's
so sensitive.
Yeah.
So I said nothing. I just said, no, thank you. And the look of disgust on everyone's face, I knew that I handled it in the best possible way.
Wow.
And also at that point, my main focus was to get the deal done, which we did, which was fine.
There you go.
But yeah. So lots of stupidity happens.
Good restraint. I would not have acted the same way.
I don't know.
Trust me, in my head, it was no restraint. Oh my God. Yeah.
hopefully that, I mean, I obviously it's still, that kind of stuff does happen today.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hopefully less and less and less and
I hope.
Can be fully eliminated.
When I was in San Francisco for the Raps Warrior game, we also saw quite a bit of racism.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, that there's the yep. States.
Yeah. You know? So ridiculous.
We got our ways to go.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, I really want to touch on this one, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, the Shakti
yep.
Society.
Yep.
Can you tell us about that and
yes.
the importance of that?
Absolutely. So Shakti in Sanskrit means power, and Shakti is also the name of our female goddess. So in Hinduism, the main deity, is that the right word?
Deity,
sorry. I speak Hindi, so in my head, it's say it again.
Deity.
So the main deity is
right.
Is female.
You're both
I think,
right.
I think you're right. I
tomato,
think you're right.
Tomato.
So the main person is female in Hinduism, which is awesome. So the reason why I created the Shakti Society was to empower other women. And I found that I see it all the time that women can do so much, but sometimes they just lack a little bit of confidence. So that's why I started the Shakti Society. Right now I'm doing meditation. So I've done practice meditation. I don't even know how many years.
Which type? I'm looking into this right now.
Okay, so you need to come to my class. It's on Sunday. It's free. The reason why I teach for free is because I learned meditation sort of on my own, and I have a guru from India that also taught me meditation. And I don't want to charge people to achieve that level of clarity. So it's very introductory. It's this Sunday.
Okay.
It's in Vaughan, and you have to come now.
Yeah, I will.
Yes, it's this. I don't know what the date is this Sunday. I should. I don't even know what the date is today. 16th, 17th?
Okay. Well, unfortunately,
it's going to be aired later.
Time,
okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So it's 12 o'clock. It's at the Homewood Suites out in Vaughan.
Okay.
It's only an hour. It's introductory. I promise it's really easy.
Okay.
Yeah. So now you both have to come.
So this question is not on the sheet, but it's called the Three Truths. So
okay.
Imagine years from now, you accomplish everything that you wanted to accomplish. You had a long and successful life, and your family and friends and everyone's around you.
Okay.
Achieved everything you ever wanted to. But for whatever reason, it's your last day.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, your
what
friends...
What is it with you guys at death and coffins?
I don't know. It's the theme.
Every episode has a theme.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So the theme is, you know.
So your friends and family and everyone's around you. And everything that you've ever put out, the books you've written, this interview and everything else, it's been erased.
Okay.
And you have three short notes that you can write to your friends and family and the people who love you.
Okay.
What would you put on those notes?
Interesting. How did you know I want to write a book? Or that was just part of your little spiel?
Research.
Interesting.
There shouldn't
be anything about that. So there's three things that I believe in, and I think that's what I would tell the world, which is courage, confidence, conviction. And those three things are sort of what allowed me as a young woman being in the industry and being, you know, looked at in a certain way. So the first thing is courage, and always having the courage to believe in yourself, because sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, especially when you have people around you that are constantly criticizing you, trying to bring you down. Courage is not always this, you know, roaring voice like Rocky, although I love Rocky. Sometimes it's that quiet voice at the end of the day that just tells you, you know what, you're going to try again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And conviction. Conviction means whatever it is that you decide to do, you have to go forward with the utmost of conviction, and you cannot doubt yourself. And confidence. You have to have confidence in your path, in your goals, and in yourself.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much for being here.
No problem. Thank you both.
Thank
this
you
was so
too.
Fun. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you so much.